Welcome to New Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on cybersecurity and the local Colorado economy, focused on cybersecurity industry growth and initiatives that support cybersecurity economics. We hope this special series on blockchain builds your excitement for a possible future which empowers individual privacy. Please follow and participate as New Cyber Frontier is supporting a grassroots community effort to empower the individual in the digital age. Check out privacyforthepeople.org to see the upcoming crowdfunding campaign. Now sit back and enjoy as we introduce our great guest for today's show.
Well, welcome everybody. This is Sean Murray. I'm the host of today's edition of the New Cyber Frontier. In today's edition, we welcome Jerry Yaffa, all the way from Boston, Massachusetts. Jerry is a senior program manager for one of the largest healthcare corporations in New England today. He recently just came from the First District Federal Court of Boston, where, Jerry, you served as the senior advisor to the court, where you implemented one of the most complicated and largest privacy technology projects for the court system. Welcome to the New Cyber Frontier.
Thank you very much, Sean.
So, you know, Jerry, one of the things that you've done is you've implemented a lot of strategy, a lot of leadership, managing large, complex projects for your clients over the years. And, you know, one of the things that we were talking about, you know, last month when we were at the ISSA CISO Summit is how complicated it gets when you try and have to balance, you know, cybersecurity with the needs of the business. And that business could be a regular business, or it could be a federal courthouse, or it could be, you know, a regular client, right? How is it that we communicate with those individuals? You know, why don't you give us a little bit about your background, where you came from, and then tell us, you know, what's your perspective when it comes at your experience level? You know, what does it take to communicate with your customer, no matter whether it's the federal court system or your current client in an entire different industry today?
Well, I've been doing cybersecurity for about 20 years. So not only recently has cybersecurity become a specialty. Before that, it was tied into general IT. Now, I used to tell my, you know, when people talk about cybersecurity, you have to explain to them that everything has to be taken. You have to start at the beginning. Cybersecurity has to be baked in from the start. The biggest problem you have with cybersecurity today is people want to add it on at the end. And that's one of the biggest problems of the industry. You can't just tack on cybersecurity. You have to bake it in at the beginning of the project. So that's one of the biggest challenges when you're working with especially a large corporation or a government agency, is people just want to get stuff done. And then they call you in at the end and go, I think we have to make this secure. And then you go, it's a little late. The time to bring this cybersecurity in is at the very beginning of design. That's the hardest thing to get to senior management to buy into, because everybody wants it done yesterday. And you have to explain to the management that you need cyber at the beginning, or you're going to be spending twice as much time and twice as much money to get something that if you started off with cybersecurity at the beginning, it would have... When it gets time to the end of the project, you're done with it. That's one of the major problems.
Yeah, and so, you know, we understand that, and you know, we have to articulate that to the organization when they come up with new projects. Sometimes we get embedded halfway between a project starting up. Maybe somebody got removed from a project. And so we can't really go back to the beginning. We have to start somewhere, maybe in the middle. And then the influence, right? the culture of leadership within the organization. So when we talk about cultureship, culture, you know, the board of directors, or, you know, let's go back to the your position with the first district federal court of Boston, where, you know, the person, the God, is the judge, right, that runs Absolutely. That court system. And so most of the influence resides with that individual. I'm going to say, you know, we tackle that conversation when we come back from our break. Welcome, everybody. Sean Marie, host of today's edition for New Cyber Frontier. We're talking to Jerry Yaffa, who's currently a senior program manager at one of the largest healthcare corporations in New England. We're going to take a break. We'll come back right after our sponsor.
Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Sean Murray, host of today's edition of the New Cyber Frontier. Today's edition, we welcome Jerry Yaffa, who's the senior program manager for one of the largest healthcare corporations in New England. Recently came from the first federal district federal court of Boston, where he served as the senior advisor to the court. You know, Jerry, we're talking about the culture of cybersecurity. You know, how do we change the culture, the mentality of those people that are running the organization, whether it be a government organization or maybe a large corporation where you're at now? How do we get them to understand, say, maybe, you know, we get brought in before we were able to bake it in? How do we get them to understand what the ramifications or the risk is? Because it's really all about risk. How do we get them to understand that?
The easy way today, it's a lot easier now than it was before, because there's so much stuff in the headlines. So people see, you know, I once had a conversation with a senior government official. I started a new consulting position, and it wasn't at the court, it was someplace else. And the guy said, you know, if you mess up, you don't have to worry about the newspapers. You're going to be sitting in front of Congress. So when you do something, you think very carefully before you go in and do something, because if you're wrong, you're going to be sitting in front of Congress with the TV cameras explaining to the world how you screwed up.
That sounds like the OPM director a couple of years ago.
Yeah, well, it wasn't him, but it's basically what happened to the OPM director.
Yeah, she was in a hot seat for quite a while.
Right. So people want to stay out of the headlines. Now it's a lot easier to explain to people what the risk is. The hard part now is to get them to spend money. It's all risk versus financial requirements. So you have to explain to people that you're never going to be risk free. There's always going to be residual risk. So then it becomes, how much money should you spend to take care of this risk? That's the hard part, because a guy will say, well, I've only got a budget of X. How can I fix this? And you say, well, I'm really sorry, but, you know, your budget is going to have to be Y. You've got 2,000 routers, 150,000 endpoints. You know, I've worked places where they were protecting the endpoints of roughly 500,000. So you've got 500,000 endpoints. And they say, well, you've got a budget of X. And you go, that's great. You're not going to be able to cover the risk. And some people say, that's fine. and they cross their fingers and they hope that nothing happens.
Yeah, they hope they don't show up on the 5 o'clock news, right?
That's exactly what they're hoping.
Yeah, and so the message now is the message of risk associated with not just one individual or maybe the board, but trying to align with other business units within the organization. So, you know, we had a conversation earlier today with another professional regarding strategy. But risk management wasn't discussed. You have to align the needs of the business with cybersecurity requirements. One of the discussions is we're a cost of doing business, but we do provide value. So while we may not generate revenue, there are ways that we can articulate to the board or influence decisions with other people in the organization to provide those resources that we may be missing because of regulatory compliance fines, jail time, whatever that may be, or, hey, here's somebody else in the industry that we compete with who did it wrong. This is what it cost them. Or, hey, this is the value that we provide by saying, you know, if you don't do this, this is what it could cost. How often do you have those conversations with your clients?
I have that conversation regularly. One of the ways to convince people to put in cybersecurity protections is you explain to them the cost of a loss. The current rate is $148 per lost record. So most guys go, well, that doesn't sound like a lot of money. And then you go, but you've got 7 million records. Then all of a sudden the light goes on. The average cost to fix a cybersecurity breach in the United States is $8 million. That's the average. Now, I've known several corporations that the number is over $100 million in climbing. It's a cost of lost revenue, lost customers, paying fines, putting in the equipment that if you put it in before, would have cost you a lot less. Now you've got to, overcompensate because you've got regulators standing over you going, yeah, that's not good enough. You've got to keep going. So all of these factors combined are the types of things you bring to management.
And what's the general consensus when you do that, Jerry?
It's mixed. Some guys go, you know, it really is time to get the checkbook out. Then other people go, well, what kind of Band-Aid can you put on this? We just want to kind of cover it up. We will assume the risk. And so it's across the board. Some people say we understand it. We're going to assume the risk. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that. I just recently had a client engagement where they were funded through a government program to have a risk assessment on their entire campus, which included four different buildings, four different telcos that were providing services between business services, nonprofits, and academic on their campus. And one of the business partners is an attorney. And so we were trying to get them to sign on the dotted line. I mean, you're talking about a $50,000 assessment that you're going to get for free. And our organization was running that. And so I finally called the guy up and I'm like, you know, we're trying to figure out why you're not signing this agreement. We've got a schedule that we got to keep to. You're going to be the benefactor of a free $50,000 assessment around the ballpark. He goes, and what are you going to find? I said, well, we're going to identify where, you know, you're doing well. And then we're going to identify those areas where you need to make some improvements. And he goes, well, you know, on those areas where I need to make improvements, once that's disclosed and once it's documented, you give me a report, then I've got to fix that. You know, from a legal perspective, you know, that's too much risk for me. And so I'm like, so I was trying to explain to him, he's looking at it from a legal perspective of somebody who's going to be liable, as opposed to my perspective as, hey, we're identifying areas where you can improve and you can socialize that to your clients and your customers and all the other stakeholders. But you know, trying to get his opinion to change the other direction just wasn't happening. How do you overcome those challenges?
That particular one, you won't. Because he's the type of person that would rather stick his head in the sand and make believe there isn't a problem. Because he thinks that by ignoring the risk, he's not on the hook for it. Which is a very legally tenuous position, especially for a lawyer. But he is right about the part that says, if you point it out to me, I have to fix it.
Right.
So I had a potential client that, of course, you're familiar with PCI, that they were for decades at the level they could do with self-assessment. So they were just rubber stamping it. Oh, yeah, everything is fine. Everything is fine. Everything is fine. So then they got bought out by a larger corporation. Now they're in Tier A, which means they have to have an outside audit. Well, the guy from the outside audit walked in and asked for the self-assessments. And checked the self-assessments against his preliminary, just quick walkthrough. None of the controls were in place.
That's a great place to take a break for our sponsors. Jerry Yaffa, Senior Program Manager for one of the largest healthcare corporations in New England. Jerry, we're going to come back to that PCI discussion. We're going to break real quick for our sponsors, and we'll come right back. Welcome back, everybody. Sean Murray, host of today's edition of the New Cyber Frontier. Today's edition, we welcome Jerry Yaffa, who is a senior program manager for one of the largest healthcare corporations in New England. We were just talking about PCI compliance, and you were sharing a perspective. Would you like to follow up on that?
Sure. So what had happened is this company was doing a, shall we say, cursory self-inspection, that of course they found everything was fine. So then they brought in an auditor, because that's required by law after you hit a certain limit. And they found that basically their self-assessment was empty paper. None of the controls were in place. And they had basically 2 months to clean up their mess or start facing million-dollar fines monthly.
Isn't that crazy, right?
They all of a sudden decided they really needed cybersecurity. And that's sometimes what it happens, is the management is not going to do anything until it has to. That's a big problem with security, that people, you know, it's like, they don't want to do it unless they have to. And that's a really risky proposition.
Yeah, you know, when you talk about balancing the needs of the business with, cybersecurity, oftentimes the board of directors or the executive board, so your CEO, CIO, CFO, EIEO, right? If they don't share that same perspective, you and I have cut our teeth in some of the same territory. I provided CISO services for a large biopharm company last year in Boston, and we had the same struggle. The organization did a great job protecting its pharmaceutical recipes. Over in Malaysia, we're doing a percentage of the compound. Another percentage of the compound is being developed in Mexico. We bring it all together in Atlanta, Georgia, and then we mix it all together. So they're doing a great job there protecting the IP and all the clinical data, all that other stuff, but not the infrastructure, not the rest of the computing environment. It comes down to that C word, culture, right? And it wasn't until this organization got bought out by a larger, so you're talking about a $4 billion company being bought out by an even larger company, and now they come in with their own leadership that are very well-versed in risk management, cybersecurity, and I would say one-third of the executive leadership, to include the IT staff, were replaced. So how much more of that do you see happening, say, in the next 5 to 10 years?
As compliance gets tougher and they pass more and more laws about privacy, about cybersecurity, about things like GDPR. I was doing consulting work for a large international conglomerate. And I was talking to some leaders in Europe, and they basically said, we're not going to worry about it right now. We believe that we're going to put our product out there. What people do with our product is their problem. And I spent days with this senior executive trying to explain the potential of not following through on the regulations of GDPR. And they were a multi-billion dollar corporation, and their fines, 4% of revenue, is in the billions of dollars. And I told this person that's what's at risk. And they just said, look, we're not ready. We're going to just take our chances for now and go about our business.
You know, that is a common theme, Jerry. I've had these conversations with other people. I'm in Europe several times a year. And GDPR, everybody is worried about GDPR. And so the basic things like having the pop-up menu on your website that says, you know, hey, we collect information and cookies and analytic data. You need to click here before you interface with our website. And then the privacy statement that comes up as well that you have to click through before you surf on their site. Those are the basics, right? But I'm seeing what you just described with a lot of other organizations that are part of the EU, because the lack of the things that are lacking in GDPR are the enforcement, the compliance, and the compliance requirements that are articulated. Hey, here's a checklist. Here's some information on how you comply, not just that you have to comply, right? So the same things are happening here in the United States. You see the California law that was just passed. If you're making up to $20 million or your primary business is to collect personal information on citizens in the United States, you have to comply with this new California privacy law. Colorado has its own privacy law that applies to any business. If you process, transmit, or store on a Colorado citizen, you have to comply. But there's nothing that says, what is the compliance criteria? How do you meet it? Who's going to assess you? And when do you have to report? So business's perspective, as you just described, is, you know what? I'm going to wait for somebody else to get slapped around, like Google, like Facebook, and I'm not going to spend the money up front. Not until somebody tells me I have to do that.
That's it.
And it's risk management. It's a different aspect of risk management. Risk management being not from a risk adverse, but accepting the risk. What do you think?
Now, one of the big problems is that the way these laws are written, there's so much room for interpretation that a lot of times people just don't know what to do. even if they want to spend the money, even if they want to comply, you put five lawyers in a room, because I've been in rooms like this, five lawyers are interpreting a privacy law. You get 10 answers. Well, it could be this, but it could be that. Yeah, but it could be this. Well, it says this over here. And nobody's willing to say, I'm going to put my name on this document that says this is what we want to do. That's the biggest problem, is you can't get people to accept the responsibility. That's another thing. Nobody wants to be the person responsible for interpreting the regulations. That's another major problem. And then one of the other major problems is, all right, you mentioned the California law. What happens if somebody from California comes to Boston? Goes and does business with a company, fills out the forms, they get stored electronically. What law applies?
Well, and that's just it, especially when you're talking about, you know, MSSPs, right? So if I've got an online provider that's not even located, maybe even in my country, or I'm talking about like a Google data center where they have replication at all of the data centers across the world, who even knows where my data is? Where's it being replicated? How do you protect that? How do you meet all those regulations?
That's the problem. I mean, they're threatening Facebook with, I don't know, $10 billion worth of fines this week.
Oh, it's gone up this week, huh?
Yep.
Well, I think Facebook still has more money than the government does, though.
Well, why do you think the government's interested in going after them? You know, that money should be ours, whoever ours is.
Right. Well, it's not you and I.
That's not you and I. That's governments. So it's like, you know, several different governments from several different countries are all suing Facebook.
Yeah, and again, Facebook and Google, because Google's in the same boat. You know what they're doing the same thing what you just described, and that is, where's the regulatory compliance criteria? How do we meet the requirements? And where's the assessment body to come in and help us achieve, you know, what you're articulating that we have to? They don't have it. And that's what's lacking in some of these state laws. So a lot of us in the industry, and you and I were talking about this last month at the CISO forum, you know, who's going to win this battle?
I think in the long run, they're going to slap everybody's wrist, collect a few bucks, and it's going to go on business as usual. Because at this point, the technology is changing faster than the government can regulate it.
We both agree on that one.
So what's going to happen is they come out with standards today. By a year from now, those standards are going to be totally obsolete. Then they're going to change the standards again. People are going to start chasing those standards, and they're going to be obsolete.
Yeah, so the regulatory regulatory compliance issues can't keep up with the pace of technology. You know, back in the 60s, you know, we had Moore's Law applied to, you know, the speed of the processor would, you know, double every 2 years. In the 1980s, we applied that to all technology. So if you apply that to technology today, how pervasive it is, how immediate it is on our mobile devices and IoT and all of the things that we talk about, and then you apply that to the regulations that take forever to get through the court system or to get through Congress, you know, you're just chasing your tail.
Exactly what's happening. They're not keeping up. Technology is racing so fast that regulation can't keep up. It's not even a close race. I mean, at this point. And that's one of the dangers of what's happening is technology is going so fast that the public isn't aware of what's happening.
What the implications are, right?
What the implications are. So they don't realize how much data is being collected on everybody constantly. So that's a whole nother discussion.
And what it's being used for, right?
What it's being used for. I mean, at this point, there is no privacy. They're just, the privacy genie is out of the bottle. An individual has very little individual privacy anymore.
And it's funny, the contrast is there is a heavy perception of new regulatory focus on privacy, not just in the United States, but you know throughout the world. You know, we see all these privacy laws being passed, but like you had mentioned and other professionals I've talked to, you know, all this different technology, IoT, artificial intelligence. You drive down the road and you've got cameras capturing, you know, your face, capturing your license plate. You go through the airport, it's the same thing, or you're using biometrics. You know, there's so much data out there, we don't even know where it's going. So, you know, it's a great conversation, and I would love to have this conversation a little bit further. Jerry Yaffa, a senior program manager for one of the largest healthcare corporations in New England, a guy who's been in the industry for many years in many different industries, you know, providing his level of expertise. Jerry, we thank you for, you know, participating in the New Cyber Frontier during this edition. Any closing thoughts that you have for our listeners today?
I think that, you know, people should realize what they're doing online and in general. They should really be conscious of who they're giving their data to and what they're doing every day. It's just awareness that people should be aware that cybersecurity and privacy is something they should be thinking about. Even though it's something they don't directly deal with, they should think about it just to be aware.
You know, great points, Jerry. I really appreciate your discussion today. I'm Sean Murray, host of today's edition of the New Cyber Frontier. Our guest today has been Jerry Yaffa, senior program manager with one of the largest healthcare corporations in New England. Thank you again, Jerry, for your time today.
Thank you, Sean. It's been a pleasure.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember, please follow and participate as New Cyber Frontier is supporting a grassroots community effort to empower the individual in the digital age. Check it out at privacyforthepeople.org. Also, make sure to join our mailing list so we can keep you informed. If you have an idea, if you have a question you would like to hear answered, or if you just want to get involved in what we're doing, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links because they are the ones that really make this show possible. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.